Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG believes in the importance of education, allowing people to gain the knowledge to feel confident in their personal decisions. This show highlights the unique financial perspectives of its many guests, including economists, attorneys, book authors, business owners, and tax professionals. It is provided for general information purposes only and does not consider your particular investment objectives or financial situation and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on information on this show, strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial advisor. The opinions expressed on Money Sense do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group, four-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for business ethics and integrity. Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com and listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at noon.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, Wealth Advisor for Ellenbecker Investment Group. Ellenbecker Investment Group is located in Pewaukee, just north of I-94 between Highway 164 and Highway F in the Ridgeview Corporate Park, and also in the village of Whitefish Bay in the Equitable Bank Building across from Winkies. We also service clients in Bonita Springs, Florida. You can visit ellenbecker.com for more details. My guest today is Truman McGee, founder of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, a Milwaukee-based non-traditional handcrafted spring roll company that got its start not that long ago and has had an amazing journey. And I'm really excited to talk to you today, Truman. Thank you so much for coming.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, this is going to be a great conversation. I've been able to see where your company's gone, and I'd love for our listeners to hear more about it.
Absolutely.
And really about the learnings you've had along the way and what an entrepreneurial journey kind of can be, what it is, what it's not, and all of that sort of stuff. So let's just dive in. If you want to share kind of the background of where you've been and where Funky Fresh has been.
Yeah, so thanks again for having me, Heather. Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, non-traditional gourmet spring rolls made with fresh ingredients and never deep fried. We have flavors such as buffalo chicken and kale, chicken club, chicken broccoli mushroom, sweet potato black bean, and about 20 to 25 different flavors that we would normally rotate when our restaurant was open. This journey started this year would be 11 years now. Oh my God, 2024. It's a whole, we're in the beginning of 2024, so it's officially older than 10 years old. It's 11 years old, and I was a laid-off construction worker. I spent 10 years of my life from 18 to 28 being a sheet metal worker, which is like installing ductwork, furnaces, and everything. And the day I became a journeyman, I got laid off on the same day. So, which, if you don't know what journeyman is, it's like pretty much going to doing 10,000 hours as an apprentice and 5 years of schooling. Literally the day I got my paperwork, they say, all right, congratulations, you get a raise, but we have no work, so you got to sit at home for a little bit. So it really was not getting fired. It was just like there's no work to do. And at the time, I was really, you know, not really understanding business, and I was really bitter about it. You know, rightfully so. It's like you work all these years to, you know, progress in this field, in this career, and you can't even enjoy it because there's no work. And really not understanding, like you said, the business of it. And now that I'm making 40, whatever, it was like $42 an hour at the time, I'm on the same level as everybody else who's a journeyman. So it's like, who would you keep? To keep the guy who's been a journeyman for 36 seconds or the guy that's been a journeyman for 15, 20 years?
Right.
And I get it now, but back then I didn't get it, you know. So my life kind of changed in that moment where I had to move back home to my parents' house. I was 28, going bald, like single father, out of shape, like all of the things that men are afraid of at, you know, approaching 30, I was experiencing. And I thought, like, okay, I need to do something in my life that I really enjoy because this isn't it. So at the time, I was coaching wrestling at Milwaukee Pulaski. I was the head coach. And I thought, like, well, I'm already coaching. why, you know, I'm already active. Why not, like, just get in some really good shape? If I'm going to be at home, I'm going to just be in the best shape possible. And that's what I did. I started working out, and I started, like, learning about healthier foods. Went down the whole Netflix rabbit hole of, you know, healthier or the food documentaries that scare you into not eating chicken or anything anymore. And I just really, like, took that time to just get educated on my health and wellness. And throughout that process, this is in 2012, in that process, I lost, like, 65 pounds. And I was just, like, having such a good time. I was, you know, still laid off, not making any money, but I was in the best shape ever. Like, my knees were working optimally. I was just having fun, and I thought, you know what, maybe I could get into personal training. It's very similar to coaching wrestling. That's kind of what I did. I studied to become a personal trainer, got my certificate, and I started just training people at the park. So I would go to, like, the lakefront, go to all these different places, and one specific time, I got a tractor tire from one of my friends, and we took the tractor tire, and We was flipping it up the hill at the lakefront, and this lady was like, "What are y'all doing with that big tire at the lakefront?" And I was like, you know, dad joke supreme, like, "Hey, we're getting tired. Get it? We got a tire. Get tired?" No. She was like, "No, I don't get it." But I got it. I was like, "Oh, my God, I am tired. I'm tired from lifting this tire, but I'm also tired of where I was at in my life." You know, like, I needed to change, and I was doing it. So in that moment, I decided, you know what, I'm not going back to work. I'm gonna just figure this out on my own. I'm gonna do the things I want to, you know, I love in life. So while working out and building my first business called Getting Tired Fitness, I realized that a lot of my clients were having, they would plateau in their fitness. They would, like, lose some weight, lose 10, 15 pounds, and then just plateau because their eating habits really didn't change. So in that process, me losing 65 pounds, majority of it came from me eating better, and you know, not eating fried foods, not eating a lot of heavier dairy foods, not eating a lot of breads and stuff, and just eating more whole foods, fresh fruits, vegetables, kale. I always say kale saved my life. It's a true story because like, eating a lot more kale and a lot of sweet potatoes, like, just got me feeling better. So I would make these different meals for my clients. I had a sweet potato, black bean, spring roll. Sweet potato black bean wrap. I turned that to a spring roll. I was selling it to my clients after our workouts, and it just kind of took a life of its own. And then I thought, like, hey, maybe this might be good at some farmers markets. So I started selling at a couple of farmers markets. They were sell out. We're doing like only like 200 rolls at a time. This is still out of my parents' house. Still, like, not even know what I'm doing, but I just know I had a great product. And something told me, like, you know what, these spring rolls are gonna change your life. And I just kind of went all in. I stopped personal training about 2015. I stopped coaching wrestling, and I put all my eggs into the spring roll basket, and we just kind of flourished from there. So after 2015, going into like 2017, I started thinking about, all right, what could this look like on a bigger level? I thought this would be great in the grocery stores. I had no experience with, you know, being a food manufacturer. I just, like, had all the determination and motivation to do something. So I got into this class that kind of taught me the ways. It's called Fab Food and Beverage, and they kind of mentor small businesses on how to become a food manufacturer. And I realized, like, it's going to cost $1 million. And I said, I don't have that type of money, but what we could do is start a restaurant. And we opened our first restaurant in the Grand Avenue Mall in 2018, going into 2019. The Grand Avenue closed, but we moved into the Sherman Phoenix, which we were there for 5 years. And going into 2020, business was great. We went from, in 2015, selling 10,000 spring rolls out of my parents' house to now moving, you know, going to the Sherman Phoenix, where we're selling over 150,000 spring rolls a year.
That is amazing.
You know, all hand rolled too. By the way, I am out of my parents' house, if anybody wondering. Finally got my own house. But in 2020, COVID happened and just changed the world for literally every single person on this planet. And I thought, like, well, our restaurant's closed, we can't sell any, which is crazy, that's 4 years that quick. Our restaurant's closed, we can't sell any rolls to our customers, but we can bring food to the people. And that's kind of what we did. We pivoted, we innovated, and we started freezing our product, packaging it, and getting it directly to people. Going into 2022, after 2 years of doing it, we got into a couple grocery stores on our own, and then we partnered with Palermo's Pizza, which we'll talk about in another segment. And that just kind of took our business to the next level, where now we got into 150 grocery stores as of 2023, and got so busy that we actually closed our restaurant in May of 2023 so we could focus on our frozen brand. And now, as of 2024, we're looking at expanding to more stores. Currently, we're out of inventory, out of our test phase inventory, but now we're working on getting our product back going, and hopefully by this spring, we should be in about 500 stores.
Now, that is an incredible journey. Yes. And I know you told us all of that in just a handful of minutes.
Yeah.
But obviously, over the last 10 years, yeah, that's been a lot more. And, you know, in full disclosure, I have had my own fair share of funky fresh spring
rolls.
Heather
is funky fresh nation. For anybody listening, she's funky fresh
nation. I did meet you a long time ago at the Fondy Farmers Market.
Yeah, where did we meet? You know, that's something I was thinking of when we got it. Like, where? When's the first time we met?
Well, I had had spring rolls from you at the farmers market, but then I think we got to know each other again. It was probably around COVID.
Through the classes?
Yep. And when when I had ordered some of your very first frozen rolls during the pandemic shutdown.
Wow.
I had gotten those and then got to know you. You know, we have our fitness journey together through the different classes that we take.
So yes.
And I have been looking forward to this this interview for so long, because I know how much you have to share about things that you've learned, things that have gone great, things that maybe haven't gone as good as planned, and how you can how you used the word before, pivot, and how to like adjust and adapt to things along the way. So with that, we'll take a short break, and when we come back, I'd love to hear more about all of the great things that have happened along the way.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back.
Stay tuned.
Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, wealth advisor with Ellenbecker Investment Group. And my guest today is Truman McGee, founder and head rollmaster of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, a non-traditional gourmet spring roll company headquartered in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So Truman, you just shared with us what your journey was on this, getting your business started, the entrepreneurial journey. You told us that in just a handful of minutes, and obviously over the course of 10 to 12 years, there's a lot more to it.
Yes.
So
we did 10 years and 10 minutes. That's time traveling right there.
That is. So do you want to maybe tell us about all the great things that happened along the way and how you got support and who supported you and the things you did for yourself?
Yeah. So I have this theory. So one of my favorite books is The Alchemist. So it's a book by this guy named Paulo Coelho. It's a quote in there that says, when you want to achieve something, all the universe conspires to help you. And I truly believe in that. Like, I look at it like, if your car was stranded on the side of the highway, and if you would, you know, say you're sitting in the car, you're waiting for help, like, maybe, you know, help would come, maybe, but if you're out, and I don't recommend any, this is just a analogy, okay? Don't do this. If your car is stranded on the side of the road, and you get out and you're pushing it yourself, someone's going to stop and like, you know what, they're going to see that and they're going to want to help. And I feel like in entrepreneurship, it's the same way. Like, you're just trying to push this vehicle along, whatever, and you're going to collect people, places, and things that's going to help get you forward in life. Like, all of the universe conspires to help you. So for me, we've had so many people come along on this journey to help out. And a lot of times on this journey, people look at me and say, oh, Trim, you did such an amazing job. You did it. And yeah, but I didn't do this alone. Mm-hmm. And you can't, no one does it alone, no group. So for me, it started off with my parents. Like, my parents, you know, allowing me to come back in, allowing me to turn their kitchen into a commercial kitchen and their backyard into a tractor tire graveyard. And, you know, my family and friends and mentorship. And I just want to touch on mentorship a little bit. That's something that's so key in every aspect of life. Just not just having just a business mentor, but a mentor in all areas, whether it's a physical mentor, someone who can help you. You know, we with each other, we're in part of this fitness group where we're all pushing each other, or a spiritual mentor, or a financial mentor, having people in all these areas to kind of help you push you forward. So for me, I've had some amazing mentors. Back in 2016, I was part of this competition called the Rev Up MKE, which is sponsored by the Near West Side organization. And they kind of all of the businesses in that group, in that area, the Near West Side, which is like, you know, some of the most iconic businesses in Milwaukee, Harley Davidson, Marquette, Miller Brewery, Aurora Healthcare, like all these Potawatomi's over there, all these big companies are in this area, and they had like a business pitch competition similar to Shark Tank, but a little bit nicer judges. And I pitched my business and for a chance to win like $10,000. I lost to Pete's Pops, which is another legendary local company.
I know, Pete's Pops is great too.
Love
and
Pete's
I know
Pops.
I've seen your continued playful rivalry.
Yeah, yeah. We got this thing going on, but we still owe them a basketball rematch, but we'll get into that later. I took second place in this competition, and we ended up winning like $5,000, which is great for the business. But what was more important than the money was the connections we made from
there. Absolutely.
We got connected to Harley Davidson. I remember like we were able to go to Harley Davidson's corporate center and set up shop to sell spring rolls there. That was huge because we gathered a lot of customers from that event. We did the same thing at Miller, but our biggest connection came from Marquette. So it's a lady named Kelsey Otero, and Kelsey like linked me to one of my current mentors today, Tom Avery, also linked me with a lady named Cheryl Mitchell, who recently passed away, but another mentor who was very important in my life. And then Cheryl linked me with this FedEx competition, which we took, we placed in the top 10 in that competition. Tom Avery helped me develop my business plan with the Sherman Phoenix. Mm-hmm. So it's like all these people that I've met throughout this journey, you know, lead you to the next, you know, person or the next whatever, the next opportunity. So, and a lot of times people ask about investments, whatever. Like, people's time could be an investment.
Absolutely.
You know? So for me, that like more than any like financial investment we've received, the investments we've got from people donating their time to help me has been like the hugest thing, and constantly searching out these people. I got this story. I kind of want to save it for the end. It kind of flows now too. I'll just tell it now. So it was a time in my life early on where it was, you know, I told this story about, you know, 2012 where we started over, start from scratch. It was probably 2013, 2014. We were selling spring rolls around that time. But it wasn't like I had an actual business plan or I had a real ideal of how this would come about. I was just trying to make some money, you know. So I just moved out of my parents' house. Like, me and my brother became like roommates and just trying to make ends meet. And I had no money at this time. All I had was a piggy bank, my son's Green Bay Packer piggy bank. Right? He loves and cherishes his piggy bank. I knew this is all the money we got to our name. So I broke the piggy bank open. I did replace the piggy bank, by the
okay,
way,
yes.
Years later.
That, you actually, are a good dad. We will say that for the record right now.
Years later. But he was like four. He didn't remember much. But I took all the pennies and put it in the mason jar. And the mason jar probably filled up like half, a little bit less than half or whatever. So I'm thinking like, all right, this may be $30, $40, not knowing how much a bunch of pennies, looked like a handful of pennies, whatever. Mm-hmm. Took it to the bank, and it was like $87. I was like, wow, that was a lot more than I thought it was going to be. So took the $87, went to the grocery store, bought ingredients to make spring rolls. Took those spring rolls, you know, went on Facebook, you know, sold them, and we made like $300.
Yeah.
So I took that $300, paid, you know, like my phone bill off, went back to the store, you know, made some more spring rolls, you know, and kind of got myself out of that tough time. But what I realized is it's the little bits of value that mean the most. So like a penny, people see a penny, they don't see like a value by itself, but pennies being collected over time, you know, gather, you know, you could accumulate some wealth with whatever. Mm-hmm. So in that moment, I accumulated some wealth to get me out of this position. But in life, you know, having conversations with people who've done it, having mentors, making mistakes, you know, learning lessons, watching other people's mistakes, it's like collecting pennies. So what we do is we collect this information, we collect these little bits of value for ourselves, and we grow a wealth of knowledge in this journey. And that's kind of what I've did, just constantly collecting. So I'm always, you know, talking to people about collecting pennies, like picking up, and granted, like people see a penny, they don't see the value, but little bits of value collected over a period of time, you could accumulate wealth with. So,
and I think those pennies, like you're mentioning, obviously there's physical pennies, and those added up to $87, which launched an entire thing for you, right? The start of the beginning part of the journey. But even like you had mentioned, like looking at that as, you know, it's small bits of time that people give you. It's bits of knowledge and nuggets of knowledge that you can help put together to get you to the next level.
Right.
And I think as well as looking at that and how that's generosity from people. Maybe it's pennies, maybe it's dollars of their time. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll talk too also about the financial investments people made in you, but that whole who believes in you and people showing you that you're worth it.
Yeah.
Like we can all be generous in that way to others around us. And,
absolutely.
And again, we go back a ways. And so I would say that that's something that you do very well is sharing what you've learned and helping people to see what their value actually could be.
Yeah. That's one of my pillars in life. Like I got four pillars in life. One is being creative, having fun.
Mm-hmm.
Three is giving back. And I just added the fourth one. The fourth pillar is being active, like in anything I do. So like literally physical activity, just moving. And if I could have all of those in one thing, then that's like a dream. If I get one of those in anything I do, I'm happy. But if I get all four of those pillars in anything I do in life, I would say that for me, the closest thing I get all four is coaching wrestling. You know, you could be creative with your approach. You could have fun. I'm giving back and it's active. So for me, those are my pillars. So I got to find a cooler word than pillars. Yeah. But
you know, it's like your core values. And it's what drives you. And if you can use your core values.
Talking about core four.
Your core four. Yes. We'll talk about the core four here in a sec, too. But if you can use your core values to really drive what all your decisions are, whether it's not just business, but personal and relational and spiritual, it makes a big difference. You know, just as a side note at Ellen Becker Investment Group, you know, we live by our core values, you know, and it's more than four, it's more like a dozen. But if you can have. It helps you with that, like navigating through whatever's coming up. Is if you kind of have your pillars, your core four, your compass to drive you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's great.
Absolutely.
Okay, with that, we'll take another short break, and when we return, we'll talk more about entrepreneurial journeys. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, wealth advisor at Ellen Becker Investment Group. And my guest today is Truman McGee, founder and head rollmaster of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, a Milwaukee-based non-traditional gourmet spring roll company. So Truman, you've talked about your journey.
Yep.
You've talked about the ways that people have guided you, helped you, shared, and what you've been able to bring together and bring others along the way with you. Let's talk about the financial side of entrepreneurship, because I can only imagine that can be less glamorous.
Yes. It's been the biggest, most daunting thing of entrepreneurship without a doubt. Like, I mean, that's the definition of entrepreneur is someone who takes a greater than normal financial risk.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of times people should really read that definition before they get into it, because what I see is a lot of times we get into entrepreneurship because we're good at a skill, not because we like running a business.
Right.
It's a distinct difference. Just because I'm a good cook doesn't mean I'm good at business, you know? So for me, I always had entrepreneurial dreams ever since a kid. I don't know if you even know this, Heather. Like, you might have heard the TM story before where as a kid, I would always see, you know, trademark, TM everywhere, on shirts, whatever.
Yeah.
And I would imagine it, that it's going to be my name. Like, oh, my name's going to be everywhere. My name's going to be everywhere. My initials, right?
Yes, because so, Truman McGee. Mm-hmm,
TM, mm-hmm. Truman. Get it? So when I was in the trades, I attempted entrepreneurship. Even then, I had a business called Truman Incorporated. That was my first business idea. It was to do like heat and air conditioning and plumbing or whatever. I knew I wanted to run a business, but I just wasn't passionate enough about that. I was passionate about the business side because it's really intriguing to have an idea and create someone's create a solution for someone's problem and get paid for it.
Right.
So moving into entrepreneurship with Funky Fresh, well, my fitness business first, but then Funky Fresh, it's so many different factors of it, but it's like the startup cost could be a lot. It's like, you know, that's why I mentioned earlier about the difference between becoming a frozen manufacturer and a restaurant. It's like the entry points is just less significant. So to open a restaurant, you know, you on the low side, you're going to need $100,000 to open. To be a frozen manufacturer, we're talking $500,000. Mm-hmm. You know, if you get a co-packer, if you create your own warehouse, it's going to be high six figures. So for me, I thought like, all right, how can we get to that point? Let's just make small investments back into the company. We sell food, part of the profits go back into there. Then once we get to a point where, all right, now you need to grow a little faster, you get an investment. So my first investor was actually a friend of mine named Ben Askren. He's an MMA fighter. And I've known Ben since probably like 2000. He was a wrestler. I was a wrestler or whatever. And it's kind of weird. I always tell him this, but I'm going to say it live on air. I kind of manifested me and Ben's like friendship. Because I always thought he was a smart guy, and he was like a high-level wrestler. I'm like, man, I just think that we could be good friends or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we became friends. And then I remember during that time, 2015, I was delivering spring rolls to his house, and his wife was like, you know, Ben really likes these. Like, he's been thinking about investing in stuff. Maybe you should, you know, ask him if he's interested in investing. So I was like, okay. So I sent them a email and said, hey, you know, what do you think about investing into Funky Fresh, whatever? I had no clue what investment would look like, no type of knowledge. You know, mind you, entrepreneurship is like business school in real time. The only difference is you don't get a grade. If you fail, you're homeless. That's your grade.
Your P&L statement is your grade.
Yeah, for real. Right. So he responded like, you love to invest. And more importantly, he's like, because I think you're a rock star. And I wish I kept that email because I thought that was so cool, man. He's like, I want to invest in you. You mm-hmm. know, and a lot of times most companies invest into the owner or the founders or, right. you know, the people of the business, even more than a product, whatever. So he made a small investment in exchange for a small equity into Funky Fresh. And that was enough to, you know, get us all of our farmers market needs, get us a van, get us going where we can grow. And the investment still is going on to this day. We talk all the time about business, and he's been really helpful for the business. So, you know, going into 2020, going into COVID, once I realized that the frozen rolls were going to be a deal, I knew I was going to need another investment to go even further. I think it's important for entrepreneurs to know where they're going. Like, what does the end game look like for you? Is it selling your business? Is it passing it on to generational wealth, to the next generation? Is it keeping it for yourself? So I think once you know where you're going, you can kind of figure out where you're headed. So for us, I knew that I wanted to grow this business and, you know, maybe even potentially sell it or whatever. I just know I wanted to grow it faster. My first thought was, all right, maybe we get a bank investment and we can get a warehouse. And we actually was looking at a warehouse in Milwaukee to do it ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then I actually met Giacomo, the owner of Palermo's Pizza, at this event in 2018, the year, like 2 years prior. And he became almost like a mentor. I always see him in the Sherman Phoenix. And You know, I was like, how do you even approach a CEO of a multi-million dollar company over about an investment? And the way you do it, you just ask him.
Just like you just do it.
Just like you ask anybody, like on a date or whatever, it's the same thing. So while I was thinking about the bank investment route, I seen him in the Sherman Phoenix, and I just asked him, I said, hey, do you think Funky Fresh could be like in the grocery stores? Like, what would you think that looked like? He said, yeah, all you got to do is this, that, whatever. I said, would you like ever invest in anything like that? He said, I don't know. Let's talk about it, whatever.
That is amazing.
Right? Yeah. It literally happened in the Sherman Phoenix. So going into COVID, like a week before COVID, we had our first meeting. And on my way to the meeting, I had spring rolls, had sauce and everything. I'm driving there, and I got in a car accident, right? And my spring rolls flew everywhere. I got boom boom sauce in my beard. It was just a horrible time. I was so upset. I was more upset that my truck, that my spring rolls got totaled than my truck got totaled, right?
It was
right?
a very important day.
Yeah, it was a big day, right? So I call him like, sorry, Giacomo, I can't make the meeting. I got in a car accident. And I was more upset about the meeting. He's like, he's more concerned about my health. Like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I can't make the meeting. No, he's like, man, forget the meeting or whatever. So during that time, so like, you know, a week later, COVID happened, whatever. But then going into 2021, I'm just on this journey. I'm trying to figure out, all right, what are we going to do? I'm looking at this building. We're in the outpost. We're in a couple syndics. We're just kind of hustling. And Giacomo reached back out and said, hey, man, we should revisit those conversations, which I thought was cool. It was
awesome, yeah.
It was on him this time. They actually had a proposal for me and how we could partner or whatever. And then that was in May of, or March in 2021. And then after like a year of like, you know, selling the paperwork or whatever, we came into an agreement in 2022 of an investment. So they didn't buy Funky Fresh. We created a company together, and they're helping us expand our frozen line. So we essentially are in a relationship with this new company called Funky Villa. It's part Funky Fresh, part Palermo Villa, and they're helping elevate the brand by being like that solid partner of bringing 60 plus years of experience to the table in the frozen game. That's been our biggest financial investment to this day, and it's been just a great partnership. They've been, and again, even more important than the money is the knowledge and the connections I've made from Palermo's. It's changed my life.
Because if you think of how would you have gotten an audience of different manufacturers and, you know, the frozen manufacturers without
having
Palermo's as the connector there.
Yeah.
A small little company in the city of Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Right? Like that would have been maybe impossible is not the right word, but it would have taken
it would have took some time. Like I couldn't have done it in a year. Like so we were making our spring rolls by hand at Sherman Phoenix, roughly 3,000 a week. We've connected with some co-manufacturers that can do 10 times the amount we could do in a week, in a day.
Right.
You know, so, and even before the partnership with Palermo's, I was reaching out to co-manufacturers and no one would return my call. I'm sure they get calls all the time from people who want to create something, whatever, but it takes, just to even have the conversations, just to make a trial run, is thousands of dollars that you gotta have. And Palermo's has been able to reinforce us and just be a solid partner and help us through all of the phase, the testing phase, and just helping us create the best product possible.
It's the connections and bringing them sharing their reputation, right? Like that's what it is too. And think about I can think about all the different things. I'm not a entrepreneur. You know, there's all of the legality side of it. You know, and having the people that have experience with that and obviously, you know, attorneys on staff or on retainer,
100%.
Things like that.
Yeah. It's, you know. I mean, so many things we don't even think about. Like some attorneys are not cheap. If any attorneys out there listening, you guys are the true winners. No matter win or lose, they are the winners, whatever. But like the relationships, they got relationships with every major retailer in I want to say the world, but for sure in America, where they could just make a call. Like even get into some of their grocery stores might be difficult. Like Outpost is one of the few stores that, you know, it's because it's local. They can, you know, but to get into a Pick and Save or Woodman's, like Mm-hmm. You got to have relationships, whatever. And they've been solid. They've had solid relationships with these stores. So, of course, they say, hey, we got another product. The stores are going to be all ears because they've you know, got their relationships from them throughout the years.
Yeah, that's great. Well, we'll take a short break. And when we come back, I'd love to hear more inspirations.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we didn't really talk too much about some of the dark side of
Yes.
of entrepreneurship.
Let's
so
do it.
We'll end with a bit of balance there. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, wealth advisor with Ellen Becker Investment Group, and my guest today is Truman McGee, the founder of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls. So Truman, in this show, we've talked a lot about the journey
mm-hmm.
and a lot of amazing, wonderful learnings along the way, a lot of the struggle along the way, talked about financial investments and just investments in you and your product and your core values.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about maybe some of the things that didn't go that great and those kinds of lessons that you've learned.
Yeah. So I'm going to start with a lot of times a loss, like one of Jay-Z's favorite lyrics is a loss in a loss is a lesson, right? So I try to change my perspective on it, but it is what it is. A lesson is a lesson. So sometimes what you don't know, you just don't know. Like as far as taxes, right? It was a time when going into 2017, you know, the investment from Ben earlier is gone. It's already, you know, into everything we need. Now it's like, all right, I need to start making some money. And there are going to be times when you get an investment and that investment runs dry. And it's like, all right, how do you keep the cash flow going on? And I would say being organized is really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a time when I was doing everything. I'm doing the marketing, the sales, the dishes, the production, I'm the accountant. I'm all of the heads in the business, and you know something is going to get
overlooked.
Yeah, you know. So it was a time when I just wasn't paying attention to my sales taxes. Right, that's a hot topic right now
mm-hmm.
in Milwaukee. The sales tax is going up. So this is still like farmers market level, whatever. And it's so easy. You're dealing with a lot of cash. You're dealing with and you're not putting money aside to pay your quarterly sales taxes. So this story is going to start horrible, but it's going to get better. So it was a time when, speaking of that that mentorship, I got connected with Marquette Law Entrepreneurial Clinic. And they were helping me create our trademarks.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to get a trademark for frozen food, and I was trying to get a trademark for hot food. So it cost about $700 combined. And so with Marquette, they have their students do it. So at the end of the semester, if you need anything you need to pay, you can pay for it, whatever. So we get to the end of the semester. It's like the last day of class. And we were paying for all of the trademarks. They didn't file them. They didn't did all of the logistics of it. Everything looks right. All right, I got to just pay it. So I go into this room. Put on my debit card. We got a projector. We're putting all the information in so all the kids could see it, whatever. And they click submit, and it said card declined. I'm like, whoa, like in front of the whole class. I'm like, okay. So, hey, can you just try that again? You know, a lot of times, like, maybe you put it in the wrong number, whatever. Tried it again, card declined. So I'm like, I know I had like $2,000 at least in my account. So I go and call the bank, and I'm like, I check the app. I'm like, there's money in there. Like, what's going on? And they said, well, you have a lien on your on your account because you didn't pay your sales taxes. So I was thinking like, oh my God, like how, you know, like it's just something that I missed. I'm sure they were sending me mail. I'm sure I got every notice, but I missed it. So I had to make a decision and they're like, all right, Trim, this is the last day of class. So if you can't pay now, they're gonna have to redo all this information next semester. And I just wanna get that done. That was in 2018, right? So at the time, I only had like $400 in my personal account, and I had to pick one of the trademarks to file. And I just thought, like, you know what? I truly believe in the frozen rolls. Let's just do the frozen trademark. Even at the time, I didn't sell no frozen rolls
right
at all. I just believed in it, and it went through. And that trademark that helped us secure the partnership with Palermo. That's one of the first things they asked. Like, hey, you got your business trademark? Put out the form. Said, yep, we do. And they were wow, he's organized.
They only knew.
They knew 2 years ago. But like little things like that. We talk about like little bits of information, but also on the flip side, you know, taking your eye off the ball, the little details can ruin a business too. Mm-hmm. Like those things add up and can ruin a business too. So that was one situation that was tough. Another one was probably taking on just like high interest loans early on, mm-hmm. trying to like not quite payday loan, but pretty predatory loans that's out here for businesses, and just not knowing. And I remember even when the Sherman Phoenix opened up, the day the Sherman Phoenix opened up, we had just moved out to Grand Avenue Mall, and we're moving to the Sherman Phoenix, so it's always moving costs. It was I just needed like a cushion of money, and I took on this really high interest loan, like the day one of the Sherman Phoenix opening up. It was for like $20,000, and it was like one of these loans. Like every day, they take the money out. So that $20,000 loan went to like after I got done paying in 3 months or whatever, but it was probably like $35,000,
yeah. So it was like a lot of 15,
yeah, like $15,000 in interest in 90 days, which is insane, right? And that put a chokehold on our finances early on. And then, you know, imagine once that's done pay, you're going to be right back in a position where you almost got to take another one or whatever. Yeah. So we end up crawling out of that, and you know, those are definitely some tough times, because leaders eat last. Leaders are usually the last mm-hmm. people to make money. And I'm in the last few years, I'm just able to make some money where I can make an affordable life for myself, where I'm not eating right. spring rolls every day, 7 days. Not that that's the worst thing in the world, but you know, there are some financial hardships early on in entrepreneurship that can really test you, and it's scary. And thank God I didn't have any like life-threatening illnesses or anything, mm-hmm. no family that was really sick. That could have really put me behind. So I'm really grateful that it happened that way. But those were a couple different, and I'm sure it's dozens more of situations similar where we made some tough mistakes, or we, you know, if it's a refrigerator going out, or if it's a lot of unexpected things happening, it is what it is. But I can say those situations can prepare you and kind of strengthen your toolbox to say, all right, well, maybe, like, how can you plan around situations like that? How can you, or instead of maybe getting a high interest loan, maybe we get a line of credit and we
right.
get it when we need it, or, you know, just being more smarter with our finances.
Yeah, having a bit more like savviness and understanding yeah. of what's available. And that, again, you know, you entrepreneurs out there listening to this program, you know, it's about finding resources that can help and guide.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they can't solve everything, but if they can give you different ideas that you didn't already know of, you know, or they give you those pennies of time, even yeah. though maybe it's not thousands of dollars of investment.
My superpower is asking for help. I'm not afraid to ask for help. If I don't got the answer, somebody else does, you know. And I think if that's a lesson I want to leave with anybody, is don't be afraid to ask for help. You never know. And no isn't the worst thing. If someone says no, no doesn't mean never.
Right.
No means just no right now. Opportunity could be a no, but that doesn't mean no forever. So no is just another opportunity to get closer to yes, in my opinion.
Yeah. And it's about asking for help and accepting help, too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, Truman, this has been great.
Absolutely.
I've just loved being able to talk with you about, again, your journey and, you know, Funky Fresh Spring Rolls as a member of Funky Fresh Nation. You
yep.
know, I can't get enough of hearing the story. So if people want to know more about Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, Funky Villa, mm-hmm. Truman McGee, where can they best find you?
Yeah. So, well, first, we got our product is currently out of stock, but it will be back in stock this spring. And you can find it everywhere food is sold, hopefully. Woodman's, Outpost, Syndic's, Festival, Piggly Wiggly, You know, I think by then we'll be in some pick and save. So be on the lookout for us coming this spring. If you want to stay in tune with our journey, you can find us on any social media outlet. So Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, now X, TikTok, Snapchat,
LinkedIn,
YouTube. I think we even got an AOL page. You can write me a letter. We'll send smoke signals to each other. Anyway, you know, we could communicate. Listen, I think about you, you think about me. If we could communicate with each other, we will.
That's great. Thank you so much, Truman.
My pleasure.
Yeah, this has been wonderful. And remember, Money Sense airs on Saturdays from 2 to 3 and on Sundays from 12 to 1. If you enjoyed today's show and you want to learn more about EIG or our upcoming events, you can visit ellenbecker.com or call the office at 262-691-3200. And as always, I hope that we've made a difference in your personal and financial well-being. Before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen.